Dr. Emily Bobo is a Bloomington-based poetry and fiction writer who's garnered numerous distinctions in her field, from 2 nominations for the Pushcart Prize to the President's Award for Excellence in Instruction at Ivy Tech Community College, where she teaches English. Since 2009, Bobo has helmed a service learning project that offers free after-school poetry workshops. This year, that program, which is called Art into Poetry, has produced the first in a series of books, the profits from which will feed hungry children. WFIU's Yael Cassander reports.
Emily Bobo has learned that people tend to have baggage about poetry.
It's a party killer.
She means that literally.
If I introduce myself as a poet at a party, it's guaranteed to clear the room.
So you've learned not to do that, huh? Or do you do it just to spice things up?
Depends on the company.
All kidding aside, Bobo gets it. The professor of English at Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington understands why poetry alienates people.
For a lot of my students, there's been someone who told them that the way they read a particular poem was wrong, that they connected to a poem, and then someone else said, oh, that's not what it means. And it crushed that connection that they felt.
So, hey, how about you introduce yourself? So tell me your name and how old you are.
Okay. My name is Aubrey and I'm 7.
Aubrey is one of 75 children in Bloomington who's recently made that initial connection with poetry.
I'm supposed to talk now? My name is Ish and I'm 6 years old.
Ish and Aubrey go to Rogers Elementary, where they wrote poems with the guidance of the Ivy Tech students in Bobo's Intro to Poetry class.
I can see clearly now. I see dolphins in the ocean. They jump high and wide. I see a group
fine
of
fish. Feather friend. I will eat it, spank it, make it fry chicken. He will.
I'm so fancy. My name is Penelope, and I am 6 years old. She sells our wet, she sells our dry, she sells our big. Why shouldn't they be big? They carry small.
Looking glass. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Your mom, you know that's right. I've told you a million times tonight.
8-year-old Merlin, along with Penelope, Ish, Aubrey, and their classmates, were given photographs made by Bobo's lifelong friend, Charity Hegestad, as writing prompts. Taking their cues from the black and white pictures of beaches, chickens, and merry-go-rounds, the children wrote with abandon. Did they tell you any rules?
Not that I remember.
What did they say? Anything like?
Use your imagination and look at the picture and see what you see, what you think that you see.
We didn't really give them guidelines. We just said, here are some pictures. What do you think? What does that make you think? We asked a lot of questions, but they didn't ask for guidelines. They didn't say, does it have to have complete sentences or does it have to rhyme? They just went with it. They didn't stop to ask questions. They just started coming up with answers.
It took maybe a couple minutes to come up with it, and then I talked to the person that was kind of helping me, and she said that it was a pretty good poem.
You get to write about funny stuff and real stuff and like real clown stuff and like real life stuff, and also you get to sit anywhere you want to sit in poetry in school.
Oh, you mean in class when you're doing poetry, you don't have to go to your assigned seat?
No.
A fringe benefit, perhaps, but clearly suggestive of the free feeling Ish got from his first exposure to poetry. Bobo's own college students envied the gusto with which the kindergarten through second graders embraced poetry writing.
One of the overwhelming responses I got was, I wish I could write like that. I wish I could just not doubt myself. I wish I could write it down and be happy with it. None of the children looked back. None of them revised. None of them got to the end and said, oh, is this okay? They were all so proud of their work by the end. And one of my students, Desiree, said, I want to write like Josh. I want to be like this kid who is so full of confidence in himself.
For Bobo's students, it's not as easy to give themselves up to the freedom of poetry. life weighs more heavily on them.
I teach writing to ex-cons, single moms, and military vets, and other non-traditional college students. You know, they have very real life issues, and sometimes it's hard to convince them that, you know, when they're struggling to pay their rent or their food stamps just got revoked, it's hard to stand up there and tell them it's really important to understand iambic pentameter.
Iambic pentameter is a perfect example of those English major things that make non-English majors bilious. You can tell people all about how it's the cadence Shakespeare used to represent everyday conversation. But it just seems so esoteric when weighed against the urgency of trying to put food on the table and a roof overhead. But Bobo gets that contradiction. And it seems her whole enterprise is to demonstrate how poetry is meant to help you through your struggle. Not just your struggle to be an English major, but your real life struggle.
If I can tell them that poetry was never meant to be this isolating ivory tower thing, that the word poetry comes from the Greek word poesis, which meant builder. Like poems were supposed to be structures that we could live in, not structures that locked us out.
Spend enough time with Bobo, and terms like sonnet, assonance, ekphrasis, all of those expressions you learned in high school English and promptly forgot, take on a whole new relevance. Bobo can even get righteous about the word stanza.
I have to defend stanzas. Stanza comes from the Italian word stans, which means room. And so a poem is a house with multiple rooms and that we can go in and out of and occupy.
Poems, in other words, were meant to provide for us, to be useful.
They were supposed to give us very real sustenance.
Try telling that to someone struggling to get their food stamps back. What would you say if someone were to say, yeah, that poem is nice, but give me a sandwich? Like, how would you defend art's value and art's usefulness?
I would say that, you know, you can't feed someone with a poem. It's true. But, you know, as soon as we have one of those big life moments when we're mourning the death of a loved one or weighing the value of it, you know, a new life coming in and upheaving all of your set systems, that's the moment that we need poetry.
Bobo says she learned about the true value of poetry when, as a PhD student at the University of Kansas, she was teaching creative writing at a shelter for abused women.
It was terrifying. You know, here I was, this middle-class white woman, walking into a room full of battered women who were struggling with addiction and struggling with domestic abuse. Some of them were there voluntarily, although many of them were there because the court had taken away their children and were threatening them, get better or lose your child. I only worked with them for 6 weeks, but they changed my life and my entire way of looking at education and the value of poetry, because, you know, part of teaching someone to write poems is getting them to trust that when they reach deep down in that dark place and pull out this their life story, that not only will it be communicated, but it will be valued. And that you're going to pull them back out of that deep, dark place at the end, that you won't just leave them there. And week after week, they did. They trusted me to do that. That was mind-blowing for me. That's the life-changing part, their trust. And then also, they saw healing. The writing process was healing for them. And they saw value in that.
The experience at the women's shelter left no doubt in Bobo's mind that poetry serves an essential function in a healthy life, like a roof over one's head or a sandwich. But Bobo isn't expecting anyone to choose between poetry and sandwiches. The poems the children at Rogers produced, and others written by area seniors, have just been published, along with the photographs that inspired them, in Bobo Books, Volume 111. It's the first in a projected series of 10 books combining art and poetry, whose profits will go to the local school district's reduced lunch program. The profit from the sale of each book will be enough to feed one child for 1 week.
I wanted to find some way of not just doing something with intrinsic value, but also something that was useful and practical.
The value of feeding a hungry child is indisputable and has been recognized by Ivy Tech in giving Bobo this year's Excellence in Service Learning Award. The value of teaching children to write poetry, which is still up for debate in some circles, became abundantly clear to me on speaking with 7-year-old Aubrey about her poem. It was inspired by a photograph featuring coin-operated binoculars in the foreground with a beach beyond. In the blurry distance, you could see the water, but nothing specific at all. Aubrey's poem is called, I can see clearly now.
I see dolphins in the ocean. They jump high and wide. I see a group of fish, and they look like rainbows. I see orcas. They are black and white. Their skin shines off the sun.
You know what, Aubrey? I can't see any of that stuff in this photo. I am really squinting my eyes, and I know my eyes are not as good as yours, but I definitely can't see them. How do you see all that?
In my imagination, and I kind of looked at the picture too and kind of thought maybe I could see them. Well, not actually see them, but what I would want to see.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Yael Cassander.
I can see all obstacles in my way.
The first volume in the Bobo's book series is currently available online and in area bookstores.